This week's topics are student loan debt, making college affordable, and whether Iowa and New Hampshire should continue to be our early primary states. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your thoughts on these issues. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. We spent the first part of the hour talking about a survey of students at Southern Oregon University and Rogue Community College about their debt loads. The report on the survey is called Sentence to Debt, and the organizers recommend some changes to the public higher education system to get more people into college and fewer people into the kind of debt that students carry now. Altogether, student loan across the country totaling more than $1 trillion. So the question to you is, what should we do to make higher education more affordable? Emily put that question to listeners online with a number of choices. You'll hear the responses. We want to hear yours as well. 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. And now for item two, only peripherally related, but everything is related in an election year, we suppose. And this is specifically about the way elections are conducted. Iowa always gets the caucuses first. Then comes the New Hampshire primary. It's mostly tradition that keeps the system in place because there's frequently jockeying to be the next states to vote after those first two. So the question for you is, tradition enough reason to keep Iowa and New Hampshire up front? Are there better reasons for those states to be the ones to go first in the primary season? Do you feel like having them go first skews the nomination process in some way? Can you think of states you'd rather have at the front of the process? Or should it maybe rotate from region to region, or a few states swap that go-first position? Let's hear from you on Vence Day about the first primary states and about student debt and college affordability. 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. And good morning, Emily.
Morning, Jeff.
And so survey pulled in a fair number of comments this time around.
Yeah, we sure did. And for those who'd like to participate in the survey, it's still up. You can like us on Facebook to find it, or on Twitter, or go to our website, jeffexchange.org. This survey, we didn't get a terribly high number of responses, but we got some pretty personal answers when we asked people how student debt had affected their lives, and then just left a big old blank spot for them to unburden themselves, it turned out. One thing that came up, which I wasn't really expecting, was a multi-generational effect of student debt. Like, for instance, Angela in Ashland wrote, she's been unable to save to buy a house or even a car. And when her son plans to go to college in the next 3 years, she's not going to be able to pay for it because of her own college debt that's still outstanding. And we got a number of responses like that of people who are well into midlife, or another one here from KJ, actually writing in all the way from Hawaii. KJ wrote, I'm 70, still saddled with $17,000 in student debt, which I cannot repay. No one is hiring elders, and I only receive $755 a month social insecurity. Yet they won't discharge my debt. I can't afford a home, and I can't pay it off. It's stress. Homeless seniors should be forgiven. All seniors should be forgiven their debts and receive a minimum Social Security payment that's equal to a living wage. So that from KJ. I really wasn't expecting student debt to tie in with Social Security incomes. I think it just shows how long this problem has been snowballing.
How far into life, for sure. I mean, that's kind of weird to think about, being that stuck. You know, can't buy a house, has to watch a Social Security get... In fact, we did hear about the Social Security getting garnished for some people when Michelle Glass was in here earlier.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which is, an interesting way to go about the problem. I think a number of other survey respondents, we also asked people, you know, well, what do we do then? Not just how has it affected you, but as a society, how do we fix this? And we gave them some options, which many of these came up in the prior segment on this program: raising taxes on large corporations, raising income taxes, raising sales taxes. Somewhat surprisingly for me, the most popular option that people selected was allowing public universities to invest directly in the stock market and private industry. So 55% of the people who answered our survey thought that that would be the best way in the short term to take on student debt, is to, I guess, empower public universities to play on the global investment markets more.
Wow. When you think about what has happened to the stock market in the last couple of weeks, though, you wonder how much wisdom that has attached to it at this point, certainly.
Exactly. Other people who didn't pick that and filled in the blank wanted to see more public universities, the higher education, secondary education and higher education, come more in line with each other. So your attendance at, say, the University of Oregon doesn't cost you anything the way that your high school education wouldn't. But if you want to go on to be a lawyer or a professional or specialized, then that's when debt comes into play. So a lot of interesting ideas here.
Absolutely. Let's take a call. We have Ann in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. We're talking about making higher education affordable and the early primary states. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I'm a senior citizen and a retired educator. And I understand that Oregon is 46th in funding for higher ed, which I think is very dismal, and I'm embarrassed as an Oregonian.
Megan corrects us and says it's 48, actually, at this moment.
Oh, 48, so even worse. Okay. And anyway, I believe a combination of things. I believe I should pay higher taxes because these are the same folks who are going to support me as I get older and the many baby boomers coming behind me. So I should pay higher taxes to help fund their education. I also believe that we need more and more help for students making choices about education. College is not always the best choice. I believe community college is a really good way to go. I'd like to see more funding for community college just wiser choices when students are making choices about what to do after secondary. And I've been a volunteer with the Aspire program, which has that very mission to, with volunteers advising students about those kind of choices and how to pay for college if that's their choice, and regarding majors that match their interests and skills and that kind of thing. So there's just a lot of work that could be done on the part of students as well as elders who are taxpayers.
But more careful choices than we had to make as baby boomers, for example, where it was just, you go to college when you get out of high school. It's not going to cost that much.
Exactly. And I think community college is becoming more and more of a choice, and a lot of the better students are choosing that, which I think is great. So I went through private college first and then later took some community college courses. I was really impressed with the quality of the teaching, and I was impressed with having multicultural, multi-age students in the class, which everyone benefited from that. So,
all right. Thanks for the thoughts, Ann. Very much appreciate it. You can join us on Vince Day as well. We're talking about the cost of higher education, how to make higher education affordable. This comes out of our earlier discussion about that report, Sentence to Debt, the Hidden Cost of Unaffordable Education. So let's get your thoughts on higher education. Our companion topic, not related this week, is about the political primary process. Now that we've been through the Iowa caucuses and stand 6 days away from the New Hampshire primary, why are those states going first? Can you recommend better ones in addition to either Oregon or California, perhaps, or why you think they should stay up there in the front? If you see some value in having states that are relatively small and not terribly diverse being the ones that go first in the primary system. Let's get your thoughts on either of these topics on Vince Day. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here that I want to get a look at. This is from Joe in Talent. He says, you can thank Republican-controlled state houses for the pickle we find ourselves in regarding the high cost of school. I was part of the last wave of state-supported education in California during the late 1970s, and 4 years at Sacramento State was easily handled with the $300 a month I was getting in VA benefits. Howard Jarvis, pushed Proposition 13, giving windfalls to homeowners at the expense of the future of college students, and shortly afterwards, the cost of school began to skyrocket. Think about it. A single class at Rogue Community College costs more than two full-time semesters at the state colleges back then. Today, the conventional wisdom on student loans is that parents should not sacrifice their futures to pay for their kids' college. Funny, those ads are created by financial institutions who are looking to hook students and strip them of a secure future for a quick buck. Sad statement on this country. Thanks for that, Joe. And similar story between Oregon and California. Prop 13 in California dropped property taxes, required the state then to fund schools as a greater portion of the state budget. Same thing happened in Oregon with the passage of Ballot Measure 5. So property tax reductions in both states led to money being stripped away from higher education, Emily. And but a number of things where people get into personal stories, I noticed in the survey.
They sure did. And, thinking about the fact that the money is there seemed to be a popular viewpoint, and that it's just a way of allocating it and prioritizing it. Our caller earlier, Anne, she led with something that didn't come up on the survey, though people could have offered it, which is that she didn't mind paying higher taxes. Most people seem to mind that. One of our options was raising income taxes to make higher education more affordable, and nobody picked that one.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pie chart here.
Yeah, there's you won't see any anything for that color. People did, you know, we had a couple of tax options on there, and other people chose corporate taxation or even raising sales taxes. And, you know, I'm not an expert in tax policy, so how all of these would work, we were kind of basing it on the popular conception of what those things mean. Another survey option for how do we fix this mess that we put out there for people was to conscript young people into some kind of a national service program that will pay for their college later. And again, all the vagaries wrapped up in that aside, people liked that phrase and they picked it when we asked them how they might make higher education more affordable. So, you know, we do see programs like that. You know, AmeriCorps is one, Peace Corps, actually another one, perhaps a bit more difficult to get into and to live by. So I'd be curious, you know, people's experience with service programs and perhaps why that hasn't grown more. Maybe that's one way to look about it, is we actually change the idea of what your entitlements are when you're young. I mean, earlier we touched on student debt and Social Security actually overlapping and people having their entitlements in retirement garnished because of what it costs to pay for their education.
There's an interesting crossover here with all the stuff we have done about veterans issues in the last couple of months, and have some more stuff coming up tomorrow with the guys from Project 22 and in the next week with Public TV, which is, I'm hearing questions on both sides about paying for college and for ways in which people could do service that is not military. This idea of some kind of national service, some sort of rebirth of the Civilian Conservation Corps from the Depression era, for example, where people could build up credits with the government that would help them pay for education.
Exactly. And I think a demilitarized option seemed to be very important to our survey respondents who picked that, and then they had a space to clarify anything they want to. And you know, some of the comments that we got along the lines of decimate the military, reduce the defense budget, and give it back to the schools. Jen and Talent, in particular, wrote that one. I mean, when you think about how much money is spent on defense versus education, it certainly isn't a simple statement about our national values, but perhaps more like a tome or a novel about our national values. And I think people are in touch with that.
We're talking about Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange. This is Vince Day. We hope to talk with you about your thoughts about how to make higher education affordable, or at least how to help people pay for it in America. That's one topic. The other topic is the early primary states, the Iowa caucuses, the New Hampshire primaries. Why do they always get to go first? And do you think it's time for someone else to go first? And if so, who? 800-838-3760. Get into the Vince Day conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Debbie and Talent sent in an email. She says, if the Facebook survey would have allowed, I would have checked the first three choices on the first question. Question being, what should we do to make higher education more affordable? And so she's saying, raise taxes on large corporations, raise income taxes, raise sales taxes. Debbie's email continues, we all need to pay whatever it takes, as much as we can, to support public education. Critical thinking and comprehension that comes only from education can keep us from being toppled by ignorance.
Interesting thoughts there from Debbie and Talent. Yeah, the survey is a little more black and white than the world is. We didn't let people pick more than one option. On the point of everyone, we didn't ask people if they thought everyone should have access to education. We did have an option on there that said one possible solution to student debt would be to accept fewer students. There are already too many qualified people vying for too few jobs. And while we got personal stories reflecting that, people who have very expensive educations and nothing to do with them, no one actually came out and picked that option saying, all right, you know, that's it. Let's not enough to go around. Let's stop over-educating people. So I think that as many struggles as student debt has generated, I mean, some of these stories, people, they don't have cars, they don't have houses. they have trouble supporting their children because of their student debt. None of them came out to say, no more educated. We did have one comment, you know, on that vein, but maybe not quite that harsh. Travis from Texas actually picked up the survey in one of our groups, and he said we should cut way back on the availability of federal student loans. As long as schools know students have access to a virtually unlimited amount of easy money, they'll keep raising tuition. So I'm not sure if I would characterize federal student loans as easy money Travis, I think, saying that by subsidizing education, it gives the universities an incentive to jack up their tuition rates.
That's been a major complaint about the for-profit universities, for sure, about the fact that they get so much of their money from student loans and high tuition. Let's bring in a caller here. Here's Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, I'd give a little opinion on both subjects.
Okay.
On the subject of education, I think that there's a lots of different kinds of education, and to just focus on the expense of going to a four-year college is not the best way to look at it, because it not everybody needs to have a liberal, you know, four-year mm-hmm. experience. Some people just need to or want to go learn how to be a programmer. You don't have to go to liberal arts college for 4 years to learn how to be a programmer.
All right.
And so there's a lot of different things that, different ways of looking at it. Also, I think 4 year colleges are basically becoming obsolete due to the internet and the way that you can learn things there.
Okay. And you have thoughts on the primary too?
Yeah. And on the primary, I think that the way that it's done right now is absolutely stupid. We have these two all-white states that are basically really small states deciding who's going to be in the election. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people will either not get a vote or drop out or whatever. It's not a fair representation. Why don't they do a big state like California or New York?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, yeah, lots of discussion about that. Dennis, I very much appreciate the thoughts.